Hypothesis, Part 2.
Welcome to the Chinwag Live podcast. Chinwag is an online community for digital professionals, and Chinwag Live is our regular event series established to cast light on trends across the digital media industry. You can find out more information about Chinwag Live on our website, live.chinwag.com. To find out about future events, speaking opportunities, or to get involved in sponsoring our events, you can email us at live@chinwag.com.
This was recorded at the second Chinwag Live event, Mobile Metamorphosis, on the 26th of February 2007 in London, featuring on the panel Hugh Griffith, representing O2, Jessica Sandin, Senior Consultant and Head of Mobile Practice at Fathom Partners, Jonathan McDonald, Sales Director at Blick, Russell Buckley, Managing Director of AdMob Europe, and chairing the evening, Tim Green, Executive Editor of Mobile Entertainment Magazine. The event was produced by Deirdre Malloy of Chinwag, with podcast services provided by Lloyd Davis of Perfect Path Consulting. And now, a message from DotMobi, the sponsors of Chinwag Live Mobile Metamorphosis. 4 phones are sold for every PC sold. That means more people access the internet via mobiles than ever. Reach that audience with DotMobi. Go online to visit DotMobi.mobi. That's DotMobi. In other words, DotMobi.mobi.
Okay, so we've kind of talked about the advertising industry's perspective on this. I just wonder about looking at it from the mobile content business. And I know Jessica's done some work on reports looking at embedding adverts in mobile content products. You have, haven't you? Tell me you have.
Not quite that.
All right.
We've done a lot of work in this area. Don't like write reports anymore. That was my previous
All right. ignore that last bit.
That's okay.
But anyway, the wider point is people now starting to investigate putting little show reels and little playable demos of adverts inside games, inside videos, in order to give them away or subsidise them. Is there a kind of a fear among the mobile content business that they've slowly built up this market of paid for downloads, and suddenly advertising is going to come along? Anything that's subsidised or free is going to wipe out what's already there, and unless they get involved with this market, which is a drastically new model for them, their cash cow is going to disappear.
I think there's certainly some concern, absolutely, because there is, and I mean, until recently, it's like, again, going back to the whole idea of hype, until recently in the mobile industry, the only thing you heard was that people will always pay for mobility. This was some sort of mantra that was repeated over and over again, that people always pay for mobility. And I think what we've seen is that people will pay for ringtones, and people will pay for adult content and some other content. But what seems to be the case is that the vast majority of people have not found the right content that they are prepared to pay for on the mobile. However, yes, just going back to your question, I'll digress a little bit, but yes, there's concern. I think one thing, there's some concern among those that have high-value branded content, that the whole idea of advertising and them being pushed into advertising by operators or others will sort of devalue their content, and the fact that some content is free will devalue the entire catalogue, and they're not being able to charge as much as they are now. So I think there's some concern, but I also think at the same time, as I said, a lot of the big curves that we expected in mobile content usage haven't really happened. So I think there's also in the content community there is an expectation that this is a new revenue stream that they can tap, and it's a way of bringing more users onto the mobile internet and into the mobile content usage. And that's also really important to get the user curve up, because, well, it's like you have a free TV offer, and then you have a premium offer, or you have a flat rate one and a premium one, right? That once you get people started on the free one, they might want more. So once you start people start using a service or a type of content that appeals to them, they'll discover that they can do more and more with their phone. So there's an opportunity in it as well, I think.
I think it's probably worth also making the point that, as I understand it, experiments with giving products away, you have to be careful there, because if you give a product away, the consumer doesn't have to invest anything, emotionally or financially in the product, so therefore they can download it and never actually play it. And what the worth of that is to an advertiser is questionable.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. So I was making the point I was making before about usage rather than users necessarily. So, you know, the paradigm changes. But that, you know, again, might mean we get higher quality content, which is not a bad thing. So
I think you also have to distinguish between free and ad-funded or ad-subsidised. Free is a very powerful word, as Jonathan will spread out tell us. And indeed, and obviously it is. But very often, free isn't always a possibility economically. If you look at the current ringtone market, as an example, it's being sold for £3. To actually expect to get £3 worth of advertising revenue for one download is probably pushing it too much. But to maybe reduce it by 25p, well, maybe that metric works. And it's a question of balancing the two and actually make it more affordable for more people as opposed to actually just trying to give it away free all the time.
Okay. Well, we were supposed to do about 25 minutes. I think we've done about 25 minutes. So I can see a lot of people at some stages going, so you've obviously got quite strong opinions. So, gentlemen down the front here first.
Yeah.
We have wait for a microphone.
And can you
we're being webcasted. So.
Can you also start your question with who you are and where you're from, just so we know who we're addressing for the podcast?
Fair enough. It's Paul Muscain here from Adadog. We've heard a lot about sort of what the advertiser wants, and I think we all agree that they want more metrics and the whole thing. What I think is more interesting is we haven't really discussed the ad media. We just began to discuss it, and we seem very much, from my point of view, that the ad media is secondary to, we've got some technology, we've got some way of our revenues are declining, so what we're going to do is shoehorn advertising to it. So I'm thinking in particularly ad-funded content, topping and tailing videos, so saying let's give it away for free, and then they find out actually the advertisers don't want to pay for it because the consumer doesn't see the top or the tail, and there's no value to it. So the mediums being on offer are very much, this is what the technology is, our data charges are declining, and therefore what we're going to do is shoehorn some revenue in it through advertising, and not actually do it the other way around, go, could you tell me what do the advertisers want, what media do they want, and build it that way rather than using existing.
Well, can I just quickly interject, but I'm sure that Hugh has a lot to say on this matter. For us it's great because we're stuck ground up, so we're working with the advertisers and saying, what do you want? And we're working with the creative agencies, some of which are here today, who actually just say, well, you know, let's get, this is the end result, how do we do that? Regardless of what MMS is or SMS is or anything else like that, how do we actually do that? Bearing in mind that we send SIMs out and we can actually mould the user experience around what the user wants and what the advertiser wants. We certainly, although I'm probably alone in this, we actually have absolutely no boundaries on that, and we have a huge range of inventory which advertisers can use and mutate, because we're just the conduit. We have no definition of, you must advertise in this way. This is an MMS, and it costs you this much. It's like, look, this is the user interaction. As long as whatever the advertising is doesn't interfere with their usage of a mobile phone, it's fine.
I mean, certainly, from the network's perspective, it's all about customer experience. And none of the networks are going to abuse that customer experience for the benefit of stuffing some adverts in, or I can't remember the term you used, but shoehorning adverts in.
Surely it's something like ad-funded video clips, like, where they found that the CPMs aren't that great already, and you're going to say, well, the user, you'll probably find that the user will download it for free, but they won't watch the tail of the video because they'll turn it off by there, and the top, they're too interested in the content itself. Which means that all the study's going to do is show that people will watch something for free, but that it's not worth anything for the advertiser. So therefore the medium is actually flawed in the first place.
Well, that's an assumption.
Well, I'm just thinking of people like Gizmondo and all the rest of it. Done these things, you know, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, no. And
three, but also as well, who's already doing the study with Rhythm New Media. They've just all, and they've, you know, the music publishers are all coming back, not being told. Yeah, we've been told that there's a lot of media, people will consume it for free, but they're not responding to any of the advertising because there's no call to action, there's no engagement whatsoever.
Yeah, and this is to my point that I made earlier. The fact is, and Jonathan's also mentioned it as well, the types of advertisements that we're currently trying on in mobile,
yep.
We're trying banners. Where did we get that idea from? The web.
Yep.
We're trialing search. We got that idea from the web. Ad funded is something slightly new, you could argue. Well, you may or may not.
Not in television.
No? Okay.
Not really on the web either.
So none of this is new, is it? But back to my point I mentioned earlier, search, banners, interstitials, they weren't around until the web came along. We haven't yet discovered necessarily all the best ways of advertising, but we have to start somewhere. And what the mobile networks are saying is, this could be interesting. Mobile networks in the UK turnover back to £16 billion. Interestingly, that's what the advertising industry in the UK is worth. These are huge, largely very conservative industries. And they're trying to find ways of talking to one another. Just let me finish. So they will trial with things that they know at the moment, they understand. And as time goes by, they'll find mechanisms that work. So everybody's at the moment at the stage of trying to understand what the user will best respond to. But at the end of the day, the network operators will not abuse their customers. They can't afford to, because they're huge industries, huge businesses. They will not abuse their customers. And they won't abuse customer experience for the sake of a few shillings of advertising revenue. We have to get this right.
Just one thing worth for the audience worth remembering is we're all talking about ad-funded content, wonderful, etc. But as you say, lots of money. Most of that money is from communication services, and it's not from content. And yes, then revenues need to go up from content. But for a mobile operator, you know, it's a small consideration, and yes, they wouldn't abuse that relationship if they have substantial user base.
I don't think it's a consumer. I don't say you're going to abuse a consumer. What I'm saying is the advertiser is saying, well, I want some viable, you know, valuable medium. And what you're saying is that unfortunately the consumer, they are king, and I understand that from an operator's point of view, but then to the advertiser turn around and say, well, is this any value to it? The answer is that it's not.
Well, how come Russell served a billion screen time.
I mean, we could all sit here and look at advertising campaigns which haven't worked in traditional media, pubs at the bottom of golf ball holes or something. You know, you could always look at extremes, but the fact is that, you know, I can tell you that I've served 1.3 billion ads. We have a very high click-through rate, certainly in comparison to the web. And we've had one consumer complaint, so the consumer seems to be happy, which is actually resolved quite quickly. The consumer seems to be happy, and advertisers seem to be happy, and every single one of our advertisers spending more and more money each month. So I think, what we're doing seems to work.
There's a question at the back.
While the mic is moving, I could just make a comment as well. But having said all that, I mean, as we all say, I think that there's a real need for communication between the mobile industry and advertising industry. I also sit on the European board of the Mobile Entertainment Forum, and that's one thing that we're working towards doing, getting that dialogue going and helping, you know, educate the advertisers about what's possible with mobile, but also getting the advertising and marketing crowd to tell the mobile people what they actually want to do.
Alan Patrick from Broadside, we consult in the space as well. I've not heard anybody talk about the deals with Yahoo, Google and so on yet. Surely these players represent quite a risk to any advertising play by a mobile player.
Can I answer that one? The deal with Vodafone and Yahoo that you're referring to specifically is something that encourages us that maybe the larger networks are starting to tweak, that people actually are a bit feeling as if they might be getting done over, to quote one of our user research panel. The problem is that to restate what I said earlier, is that it's remarkably difficult, whatever model you're putting in place now, to reconnect the silos of information and try and use bits of information that you've got which may not necessarily be only sex, location or so forth. And Hugh said it as well, and what's more so, super paraphrase Hugh, this isn't something that the operators are just going to go into and just think, right, it's all free, Yahoo are going to solve our issues, thanks Aaron from Vodafone. That's not going to happen, I don't think. I think that they value their users to such an extent, and rightly so, that they're not going to jeopardise or even risk jeopardising that relationship. From my standpoint, for me and John who are here tonight, we don't see the Yahoo and Vodafone thing in perhaps the same light as I guess you would see from the outside looking in. I just see it as further justification, as Eric Schmidt's quote, the chief exec of Google, who said that why do people pay for mobile telephony? And so that, and the Vodafone, to use both the companies that you mentioned in your question, are both reaffirmations for me personally.
But having said that, though, I do think that one thing worth looking at is how the power will pan out in the end within the whole mobile advertising value chain. Because I do think that operators need to connect those dots in order to make sure that they retain a role. I mean, currently, when people go onto the mobile internet, as we're allowed to call it again, or WAF, they normally go through the operator portal. But more and more operators are becoming more and more open around that. And then we've got brands that have their own ad sales forces that are launching mobile versions of their magazines, like eMap, which I think we have here tonight, and others, that can sell those ads on their own sites. And they probably have certain demographics of their readers, and they might, that there's less of a need than for the operator to play a part, unless they can add some sort of value. And Russell's AdMob obviously can serve pages onto sites as well, and so on. So yes, I think that there's definitely true that these big operators wouldn't have gotten into these deals and sort of just left it all open to Google and Yahoo. But it's not clear that power will always be there, and I think that that's a concern. The operators have to step up to that challenge, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should clarify for anyone who's not too au fait with all this stuff. As I understand that the Vodafone Yahoo deal is about selling ads, it's not about search specifically. And so, and similarly, Vodafone did a deal with Google where they sort of signed a deal where Google would be their sort of official search provider, and then they sort of started backing away from that because they feared that Google might sort of just basically overwhelm their own content portal. And what's actually happening is a lot of networks around the world are actually using pure play mobile search providers such as Media and JumpTap, and they're providing white label search boxes. So there's no Yahoo or Google brand. It's just a Vodafone or a Verizon or a Sprint box, and then they can sort of control a lot more carefully what kind of answers people get there. So and they're starting to sell keywords. In fact, I don't know if anyone's got any comment on how that whole sort of the selling of keywords and that sort of thing is going on in this space.
On the keyword front, from my experience, it appears that mobile operators have been very successful historically in terms of identifying the sorts of products and services that people want on their portals. And most of the keywords that they historically have not served are largely around adult. And those are the keywords that, frankly, are the ones that are being made available off portal. Precisely the players that need to get or want to get into the space outside of the brands, and don't misunderstand me, to Russell's point, there are a lot of big brands now who are looking to place and interested in getting involved in keyword search on mobile. But the other players are the content providers, who are precisely the players that the mobile operators already serve that content to. So for many of the organisations involved in white label keyword search plays, it's quite a complex process, and for the operators. So, you know, what do I put the paid for keyword search list at the top? Do I put it at the bottom? Do I even list it at all if it's a keyword that I'm currently selling all of that content to? It's quite a complex process, and it's not somewhere yet where there's a lot of standardisation, and I don't believe as yet any of the white label search engines are necessarily getting rich on it.
Can I just make a point as well? I mean, as you were saying before, a lot of the early ideas for mobile advertising is coming from the web, and I think a lot of the early ideas about the mobile web is coming from the web as well. And search is obviously massive on the web, but I'm quite a strong believer in various types of discovery solutions for mobile. So WAP push, for example, when you get an SMS message with a link, it's a big way of getting into a WAP site today. But I think that there probably will be other solutions as well, that when you're on the move, search is not always necessarily, I think, going to be the big way of finding content. So, you know, recommendations or kinds of discovery functionality we haven't really thought about yet might be really important in the mobile context. So it's really worthwhile stepping back and just, you know, forget the web for a second, and what do you actually need when you're mobile? What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, there are companies that are experimenting with, you photograph a barcode and you go straight to a website, or you can even photograph a magazine ad and go straight to that advertiser's website. So these kind of things are starting to appear. Have we got any more questions? Another one down the front.
Just on that particular point, Tim, also there's some talk of using keywords in messaging, but using that on keyword search, and whether or not the consumers think that's too intrusive, I don't know, but that's something else that people are playing with at the moment.
Another front row nerd. I'm Margaret Gold, I'm a mobile innovation consultant. I'm coming from the mobile side of the story, so I'm interested in the first part of the conversation about the advertising side of the story. And it sounded to me, what all of you were saying is that it comes down to data, that it's all about the data. And I'm curious about two parts of that. The first is, are advertisers starting to demand metrics that go all the way to measuring uptake in sales? And the second is, can anybody do behavioral tracking on the mobile other than MNOs or MVNOs?
Well, we actually provide perfect tracking and metrics in our current package, and it's a pay-per-click, and if we couldn't measure that, obviously we wouldn't be delivering the value which people are paying us to deliver. So it is all about data to an extent, and I think we're all agreed that the vision, if you like, of mobile advertising will go towards more and more data, more and more knowledge of those people. But in the meantime, let's not underestimate what we can deliver today. Certainly our solution can deliver a lot of information about the handset they're using, where they are, and the kind of make and model of handset, and indeed even down to the operator. So we've got some operators now, as an example, looking to target each other's products via mobile advertising, which I think is a very interesting idea. So a lot of the success of it comes from the fact that the context is on the mobile phone, and therefore the data which you need in order to be to run great advertising isn't necessarily needed in every single case. And also, if you're just trying to promote another website, as an example, whether it be a branded website or a content transactional website, what you're interested in is people clicking through. And if they happen to be 65-year-olds living in Glasgow, if they're going to buy a ringtone that way, well, that's great. If they're not, it's not so important. But and certainly as far as the vision of mobile marketing advertising is concerned, yes, it's really important that we all have that end game in sight where we can start providing demographics and indeed behavioural information. Demographics of limited value more and more these days in terms of marketing. It's about how people behave in the past and therefore how they're likely to behave in the future, which is starting to be key, although obviously demographics haven't gone away entirely.
Okay, taking it from a different point of view, I most certainly don't know what advertisers value, so my version is we set up the store so that advertisers can see everything and they choose what they value. I do believe that behavioural analysis is incredibly valuable, and our entire business model is based on data, correctly put. I believe that demographic information may not necessarily be as accurate as behavioural information. Knowing how quick people respond to an advert and what they do with that advert, and real social networking, which isn't necessarily the websites that we all call social networking websites. Bear in mind this is going to be on the net downloadable, I'm not going to mention those names, but I think the social networking of data, the behavioural data of social networks, i.e. do I text 10 people a day regularly, or 5 people, and do they then text or call 3 people? Actually knowing those networks is incredibly valuable to advertisers that I've spoken to, because it means that they can market more effectively to trendsetters, tastemakers, social athletes. The behavioural data is entirely centric to our business model, and I think that unless we can actually know for a fact on the outset what advertisers actually value, I think it would be disingenuous to anyone, for anyone around this panel or anyone in this room, to assume that that one part of data is more valuable than others. So all we can do, anyway, and I'm talking for myself here as representative of Blick, all we can do is just allow advertisers to see where their marketing goes, and that's behavioural of if people respond 68% of the time to travel ads, or 32% of the time for hotel discounts, or if they say that they're actually based in Leeds, but in fact they spend all their time in London, maybe they should get London-centric adverts rather than Leeds-centric adverts. It's all about the data. It's all about the data, not only for the advertisers, but also for the users. The data they get from advertisers is relevant to them, and the data that advertisers get from users is relevant to them. It's all data.
I think that's absolutely true. I think the only thing to, as I was saying before, I think, is that advertising is also a conservative industry, just like mobile, and it will happen, and it will get there in terms of the idea that you can target it much more to the end. I mean, the big thing I think about mobile is, even if you just say it's age and sex, or you know, or a preference of A or B, is that you can ensure that you have less wastage than you have on, say, TV or any other medium, where you normally, even if you target males, maybe that's all you want, but on most other media, you're normally going to have, you know, an awful lot of percentage of women watching as well. So that's one thing I think that's really important in terms of the mobile paradigm as well. But I agree that getting the details and getting the data right is important.
It's interesting because Russell probably knows better than I, but again, from what I see, then as far as mobile is concerned, we can look at CPM rates, we can look at CPC, we can look at CPA, click to call. There's lots of metrics that are available, but actually the one that advertisers are using at the moment is CPM, because they understand it. So, you know, there's a lot of things that they are capable of doing, but to my point earlier, you know, it's going to take a while for people to understand what all the things that are available, to test them out, to find what works for them, and to understand also from the media buyers, for them to feel comfortable when they go and write the checks, that is the metric that they want and the mechanism of measurement that they're happy with. So lots of technology available. We need to find out how to use it to our advantage.
And now a message from Dotmobi, the sponsors of Chinwag Live Mobile Metamorphosis. 4 phones are sold for every PC sold. That means more people access the internet via mobiles than ever. Reach that audience with Dotmobi. Go online to visit dotmobi.mobi. That's dotmobi.mobi. In other words, dotmobi.mobi.